Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am still positive Chuck Locklear.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Heck yes.
In case you didn't know, the season may have ended, but we're still coming at you 5 days a week.
I would love it if someone was listening to the show thinking they were getting current season news. That'd be a good time. I would love to be in that person's mental state.
I mean, we got enough focused on the Clipper sphere, if you will. So, you know, stay rocking with us. We'd love to have you. Today, we're going to be kicking things off with some Twitter Tuesday questions. Thank you so much to everybody who sent those in ahead of time. If you'd like your chance to get a question featured on the show, go ahead. Send those cues over to at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. We're always open, ready to hear from you.
Yeah.
So we got some good ones going on in there. And then we're going to talk a little bit about free agency, which will be opening on December 1st, as well as, you know, it was announced today when teams could kind of start taking a look at draft prospects. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a look at that as well. And then in shavings, you know, we got a variety of stuff for you. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Yes. So again, thank you to everyone who sent in Twitter Tuesday questions. Fantastic cues this week. I'm going to start off with this great one that has to do with the current coach search from Gary Abramian. He has a heater of a question. Why haven't the Clippers hired Lou already if he's the favorite to become coach?
So I like this. I guess my first question would be, from what we've heard, I haven't even heard as enthusiastic reviews from the larger media outlets as we have of Mike Brown.
Yeah, which is weird, right? Because like Mike Brown and
disconcerting, Mark, I would say.
Mike Brown and Mark Stein might be having a little like, oh, hey, I'll take care of you, buddy. You take care of me type thing. But I don't know. I know like on Twitter, on Locked On Clips account, I've been like, I really hope they hire a coach soon because the season might start, you know, in January, which we're going to talk about in the next segment. But I'm glad they're kind of seeing what else is out there, right? Like,
so yeah,
I like that they're looking at Darvin Ham, first-time guy, showing that they're willing to try new things. You know, that's the innovation Ballmer wants. But I think they're doing due diligence. I still feel like Lou might be the favorite. He just has to convince that he's not going to do what Doc did.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It gets a little bit difficult because, yeah, they are sort of entwined from a career perspective. But I agree. I just think that they're doing a full search. They're really taking a look at their options. And I hope that this is a sign that this is somebody who, you know, can stay with the team long term.
Yes.
I think that, you know, is ultimately going to be a better move than becoming one of those teams that like has a revolving sort of door of coaches, because to me that's sort of the mark of a demise of a franchise.
Yeah, it's never a good scenario.
So yeah, even if he is the favorite, I do think that it's important to take a look at other folks. I agree. I get a little bit nervous, you know, just wanting there to be a direction.
Because Lou's meeting with the Rockets this week, and it's like, you know, who's to say that, say, Lou's the favorite for the Clippers, who's to say he doesn't have a great time in Houston? And then they kind of do what happened with Doc in Philly, where it's like, oh, he's going to stay an extra day or whatever, and now he's our coach.
Yeah. No, definitely.
That would be tough.
Definitely. And I think, though, yeah, I don't know. I would hope that the prestige of the position combined with, like, the competitive pay rate.
Yes, which we have to imagine is very much in play.
Yeah, like would be enough to sort of win a bidding war against a coach. I don't know. I don't know. I can't imagine that Ballmer has a number that he's not really willing to go above.
Yeah.
If it's for the right candidate.
For sure.
I think that's another reason why we haven't seen a hire yet is they, you know, like it's got to be the right person and they really have to be wowed by their presentation.
Definitely. At Philly Cheese asked, do we think there's a chance Lou, if he were to become the head coach, could convince guys like Dellavedova or Tristan Thompson to sign vet mins if the Clippers hire him? I don't know. I don't think so.
So I actually...
They also added that Deli would be really fun on this team, which he would, but I don't know how much playoff time Dellavedova gets.
He's already had the peak of his playoff time.
Yeah. And Tristan Thompson's an interesting piece to... You know, from a backup perspective, like, because playing him over Zoo.
Yeah, nah, no thanks.
For a vet man, why not?
Nah, no thanks. So, I actually think that the Clippers' ability to get, you know, sort of exciting guys to sign to a vet minimum isn't tied to the coach. I think it's more tied to, you know, what the locker room looks like, what the, you know, trajectory of the team looks like. I mean, because I would still think next season, you know, we are we would be considered by free agents to be a potential target for a championship team, or you know, I hate the term ring chasing because I feel like that's really unfair.
Well, basketball's changed so much in terms of free agency.
Totally
different subject for a different pod, but
totally. Yeah. But I would think that, you know, if that is your goal, to be part of a championship team, a contributor, even if it's in a role in that, that, you know, that the Clippers as a franchise would be appealing just due to the construction of the roster already.
Yeah, and if you know, if you see the fit, you're a vet at this point, right? So you know what your fit is. You know, like
definitely.
Yeah. Luca E23 wonders what all-time Clippers role players would help the current team the most. And I honestly think it's peak Matt Barnes.
I like it.
Like,
I like that.
There's the toughness, obviously, is there. Maybe a little bit of fake guy toughness. The shooting's there. Like, the grit's there. That's good. Or this is an easy one. I mean, dude, peak JJ Redick on this team would be insane.
Yeah, would be nasty. Like. Yeah. No, that would be great. Once again, it's a little bit difficult to see where to fit either of these guys super into the lineup. But no, I like both those picks.
Peak Matt Barnes would be fun to watch.
Peak Matt Barnes, yeah. And I mean, I'm just a fan of the dude, so.
Yeah, for sure. Drove a very long way to beat someone's ass, which is always... it's always a good trait to have.
It's important.
Yeah. It's important to follow through on things you say in your mind, too. Fantastic question from Everett Morales. He says, let's say Trez re-signs with the Clips, which is a possibility. I feel like we've kind of acted like that's a foregone conclusion that he won't. It's still kind of a possibility.
For the right number, I think it makes sense. I think I would still think the front office would have an eye on a, you know, more prototypical size defensive center.
100%.
Which, is three centers too many for a team? In a regular season, I don't think so. In a playoff rotation, I don't think you need more than two.
For sure. He asks, which coach that has been linked with the team in even a small way could be the best to utilize him with his deficiencies? So it's basically between Darvin Ham, Ty Lue, and Mike Brown, right? Those are the three people we know for sure who have been mentioned in some way as being Clippers head coach candidates by the larger media.
Yeah, so I mean, I think of these folks, obviously I'm a little bit less familiar with Ham's style out of the three of these. I think Ty Lue makes the most sense.
He's seen it firsthand is the thing, right? Like,
yeah.
Ham is he's an Eastern Conference guy, and everyone on the Bucks can pass, which I think is a pretty big thing.
Yes.
I think Mike Brown might be closer to Lou in terms of how comfortable I am with saying this front answer. Because, you know, the big guys on Golden State, they got to pass, right?
Like, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I just look at, like, the Tristan Thompson thing, though, and Ty Lue, and I feel like that.
That's fair.
It's definitely interesting. It's just going to be a question that if Trez does re-sign with the Clips, is what his role is going to morph into, because it can't be what
it's
going
to diminish. We have to assume it's getting smaller.
It just
minutes wise, at least.
It just can't be what it was last year. I can't see it. I just can't see it.
Unless he develops a 34% shot from beyond the arc, which I don't think is going to happen.
Not going to happen at all. I mean, his finishing is great, but we need the rebounding and some more.
Some passing
and more of a defensive presence.
100%. We thank everybody on Clippers Twitter for the questions. Again, you can send those in on Mondays or any day, really, at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, or at Charles Mockler. Coming up, we got one more Twitter Tuesday question. We're going to be just kind of draft talking, and there are some details about free agency brought up. But first, I got to talk about Built Go.
You should. This is a Built Bar podcast.
This is. And Built Bar makes Built Go, which makes you the best you at whatever you do. You can break through the wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall, literally break through it with Go every day. Very easy to take, 1.5 ounce packages. It's 5 hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Built Bar combines energy gel and collagen protein, which is a fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast and very easy on the stomach if you got the rumbly tummies, as some people call it. Built goes loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. It also kicks, you know, it keeps you going strong. It's got B6 and B12 as well. The offer is fantastic. Visit builtgo.com. Use promo code LOCKED, just one word, all capital letters, and you will get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtbar.com. Let's go. And now, talk to me about auto parts.
Yeah, one more shout out we got to do before getting into some sort of free agency and draft talk is Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a great place to get auto parts. They're a family business. They've been serving customers online for 20 years.
Love it.
You should go to RockAuto.com right now to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. It's super easy to navigate their catalog. You know, you can choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer, all tailored to your vehicle. Best of all, the prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low. They're the same for professionals as do-it-yourselfers. So why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts?
No idea.
Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck or van or tank or other vehicle.
Tanks need stuff.
Right Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Love it. Thank you to Rock Auto and Built Go for keeping these lights on. Now we are draft talking and free agency, kind of have a detail on that, plus when the season's going to open up. But first, we got a couple Twitter Tuesday questions about people asking if the Clippers would be buying into the first round of the draft, which is like this. So it's kind of like a hot new, like this season meme, I guess. There was an article on Bleacher Report where there Brian Windhorst was quoted as saying, you know, he thinks first round picks are going to be up for sale. There is an anonymous exec who thinks these first round picks are going to be up for sale. The last one that happened was in 2013 when the Nuggets gave the rights to Rudy Gobert to Utah Jazz, which think of how absurd the Nuggets rotation would be if they somehow had Jokic and Gobert. You could put Jokic at the floor and play the slowest basketball in the history of the world. But do
the screen assists, though.
Oh, you know? The screen assists are off the charts. Shout out to David Locke, the god. Do we think the Clippers are going to buy into the bottom end of the first round? Because you're not like. Because also, what are these worth? Like, you're not buying into the lottery.
Yeah, agreed.
I can't imagine.
So, I guess I would be hesitant to think that they would. Maybe if there's a new coach or they see a really good fit that they think they could develop. Yeah. I just
which I don't have any faith in.
I don't have any faith in. I think that we're going to have trouble developing the young pieces that we've already gotten. And this draft to me is this is going to be this is the ballsiest draft, I think. To buy into the first round, too. Yeah, for sure.
I could not agree more.
And like, it could go both ways. You know, maybe you buy your way in and you get somebody who's slept on who's really, really good. I just would think the chances for failure are infinitely higher.
Yeah, and it's very high. I agree with that. But also, it's like, you know, we have a second-round pick. If you buy into the low part, it's like, all right, we failed. All it cost was some of Ballmer's money. But then it's like, it just doesn't seem like a move. I don't know what the scouting situation's like. I don't really, no disrespect, I don't trust it really after the Jerome Robinson pick in terms of like an uncertain draft.
Oh, with the Clippers specifically.
With the Clippers specifically, like with an uncertain draft and stuff like that, it's like, I don't think we'll buy into the first round.
Yeah.
But we did really like, you know, we traded up last year.
Yes.
So we do seem to always have these kind of, I guess,
projects.
Yes, that we like have an eye for. Like, it's like, oh, let's start this. Let's try this out. Like,
yeah,
let's
definitely.
Try Robinson. Let's try Fee. Like,
definitely.
But, I mean, you have to assume it's a long-term project, right? Like,
yeah. And I mean, like I said at the top, like, if there's just not really developing time minutes, I guess a little struggle to see the value. But speaking of the draft, teams can officially start meeting with prospects on the 16th of October through the 16th of November.
Yep.
You know, we do have a second round pick, as Chuck said. We have the ripe 57th pick.
Ooh, the sweet spot.
Is this anything?
I don't know. Right? Like, I like how Fee looks for a second round pick.
Yeah.
Right? Do we trade up to get Fee or Man?
I cannot remember off the top of my head, but I want to say we traded up to get Fee.
Like, and you know, like, so Fee and Man were both late picks. Let's just call it that. Mm-hmm. 56 is real late. I mean, I don't know. I hope it goes well. 57, excuse me. I guess I have to do some deep draft, because like anyone can go at this point, right? Like when you're at the 56th pick, you could draft anybody, and it doesn't, not that it doesn't matter, but it doesn't in the short term, obviously, totally. Unless they're amazing and we kind of just had the jump on scouting, but
totally. Yeah. Well, you wonder, I mean, it just begs the question, like, what prospects are you even going to be able to get a meeting with given, you know, your draft position? I mean,
I guess there's an archetype I'd like to look for. Like, if there was some random dude who averaged the most assists in the history of D3 basketball, I'm like, yeah, let's draft him with the 57th pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely interesting.
The Chris Clemens of assists, if you will, is who I would love for the Clippers to draft.
I love it. Wasn't Isaiah Thomas taking like 60th or something?
Yeah, but that's another, like, that's a...
Could be.
It could. You know what? You're right. It could.
But we would be the Suns in this equation that didn't know what to do with him.
Then we just turned away. And then so in terms of free agency, per Michelle Roberts, free agency set to open, she said at the latest, I believe, December 1st. She also said she expects the 2021 season to begin in either January or February, which I think that sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty much in line with what we've been like sort of speculating since the bubble. I would be pretty surprised if it didn't go again in January, just given the revenue.
Yes.
And, you know, with, you know, with football and stuff winding down at that point, there's less competition from a broadcast perspective.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that, you know, was not an ideal situation for the NBA this year.
Oh, no.
Obviously, like, trying to go up against, you know, like...
The king of television ratings.
Right,
The whole time we've been alive.
So, you know, that's been a big thing. And, you know, they have, for the last couple of years at least, been toying with the idea of moving the start of the season, you know, into that, like, Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Which I don't... obviously, if free agency is opening on the 1st, I don't see them being able to get it done. Maybe we've talked about here before, like, the... There could maybe be a preseason game or a few preseason games maybe at around Christmas, and then start... official start of the season, maybe the second week of January, somewhere around there.
So Lucas Hahn had a good idea, 213 Hoops. Lucas Hahn, go check out their fantastic blog. MLK Weekend.
Yeah.
It's like, it was, I believe it's the 18th. It's Monday the 18th.
Yeah, it's always right around
there. So 18th, like, that 18th. Seems like a great, you know, you have a bunch of great matchups on that day, on that weekend. Like,
yes,
you got the TV totally. Ratings.
No, that
it
would
might be
good.
Competing with football, though. But if you started on that Monday, there's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just wonder, and this, like, once again, it would definitely be preseason. It wouldn't be the official start of the season, but NBA and Christmas Day is like...
It's such a thing, dude.
It's such a big thing. I would just... I would be very surprised if they were willing to punt on that.
Yeah, I'll be sad if I'll be very sad if there's no NBA
basketball.
Maybe
they'll just put together an exhibition game or something. I'll watch
the 57th. I'll watch the 57th pick play on Christmas Day. Like, I'd watch the summer league game.
You know what?
Winter league or whatever it is. Like,
I love what you're saying right now. Yeah. I would love to watch the summer league game on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that'd be a good time. And also, now there's a quick free agency quote from a past Clipper great. Danilo Gallinari, former guy who got us to 48 wins.
The king. The god.
The god. The strongest man in the league. A lot of people think it's Steven Adams. It's actually Danilo Gallinari.
Incorrect.
Yeah, way off base. Wrong continent, buddy, is what I always say when people say that. He was quoted as saying that playing for a championship is more important than getting a good contract right now. What? So I put this out on Twitter if people wanted Gallinari. People really want Gallinari back, but there's so many question marks, right? Like,
I mean, health is always going to be a thing.
He was bad in the playoffs.
He has struggled.
He's been bad in the playoffs.
He has struggled in the playoffs the last couple of years, but
This is what this team needs based on what we saw from this bench, right? Like,
yeah, but I do think given a smaller role, I think Gallo still has it in him to absolutely shit on another team's second unit.
Yeah,
in the playoffs.
He can hit. Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like, he has such a lesser role. Because from the regular season, he won't have that burden of having to get a bunch of... Because part of it, look, the guy does kind of have some injury issues.
Yes.
And fatigue might be one of them, because just getting back into shape after injuries is difficult. Came into great shape with the Clippers that last season.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Huge shout out to the training staff for that too.
Very much so. For all the bad that the training staff gets, no one ever points at the fact of how Patrick Beverley and Gallo bounced back.
Yeah.
On their years. And he's had some big, you know, he's had a couple big contracts, but I think it'd be great on, like, you know, we'd have to lose Mook and Jermichael for me to get, like, actually really excited about this.
That's the thing, right? But, like, we're pretty flush at the power forward position. Yeah, you know, that we're able to retain our free agents.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you lose one of Mook or Jermichael, I mean, I think Gallo's obviously a great look.
Yeah. And his contract, like, he signed 4-year, $42 million in 2012, and then 3-year, $45 million in 2015. So, like, for money wise, you know, it's like, how much bigger than that would he? How much even close to that would he get with the shortened cap?
Yeah, totally.
Like, yeah, I'd be down in the right role. Like, I don't want him to start. It really slows down the offense, which is something that I think we kind of want the opposite of.
Yeah.
But it'd be an interesting piece. I wonder if we'll take a meeting with him.
Defensively a liability, but a higher effort guy.
Yeah, for sure.
As we've seen.
Definitely. Coming up, we're going to be talking a pretty brutal quote about the Clippers marketing. We're kind of talking about where that's going to go next season. And then an Updike special with a fantastic new term that you should definitely use in your everyday sports talk.
Okay, so we're back with shavings. I don't know, man. Like, I feel like we've loosely addressed this elephant in the room most of the season.
Yeah.
But the Clippers marketing this year was the boldest it's ever been.
It was. Historically, it's truly the most they've ever spent on marketing.
Yes.
It was very, you know, we're blue collar. We put our heads down. We do what we want to do. Paid for by a guy with $70 billion. But there was a quote from a Team Across the Hall's executive who said, while some of our so-called rivals spent literally hundreds of millions of dollars trying to win media cycles, which, to be fair, we did. We won those media cycles and we spent that money. We kept our heads down and focused on basketball because the only thing we've ever cared about is winning championships. Yada, yada, yada. We get it.
To me, this has... The Lakers championship has absolutely nothing to do with marketing, nor does the Clippers crushing defeat.
For sure. But the Clippers, it's tough because, like we said, this is the most the Clippers have ever marketed.
It was a bit much, but...
And it was a hard stance to take.
So I want to talk about the... I guess I got two things on this,
yeah,
right?
Let it go.
One would be for that marketing, that big-time marketing... to me, doesn't that show a commitment to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George?
Agreed.
That you are the guys, that you are, you know, the new LA?
Yeah.
I think that you got to take a swing like that because Paul George,
for sure,
never been in a market like that before. Yeah, Kawhi Leonard, never been in a market like that before.
You could maybe argue Toronto, but I agree.
Not the level of advertising.
No,
way.
For sure. Yeah. For
no
sure.
Way.
No, for sure. Market size wise, close, but anyway.
And then the other thing would be, I don't know if this is a backhanded slight at some of the Clippers' other efforts, such as like the courts. I think the
courts are fine. I think this is more a billboard slight.
Gotcha.
You can't be mad at the courts because if you're like...
They don't do it, so I don't know.
I mean, that's very fair.
They're not giving kids backpacks.
I don't think they're mad at the courts. I think it's mostly the billboard.
What about the backpacks?
I think they're pro backpack.
Are they? Don't seem to be giving many out.
But, I mean, that is very fair. But it is funny because just from, like, a marketing perspective.
I agree.
The
I
whole
agree.
Thing is like, now blown up. So, like, you got to go back to the drawing board of, like, we're going for redemption or, like, now we're more focused.
It's really difficult because I do feel like still the billboards were designed for last year's team, but yeah, we just
we need new billboards.
We didn't have like a big enough name star to like really warrant that sort of That's advertising.
So you're saying the advertising put in for the first year of PG and Kawhi would have been more effective.
Are you kidding me?
No, I never even thought of that.
That would have been awesome.
I agree with you 100%.
That would have been awesome. It would have made sense.
Yeah, it would have made
it. Was a blue collar team. There was not an all-star on it.
It would have made a lot more sense for the 2019, whatever the, my years are all messed up.
18-19.
Yeah, the 18-19 team. That's a really good point.
Because
now you got to go back to the drawing board.
And I think that was an issue. I mean, like, once again, we talked about this before, but like, this was an issue all year. Like, we had a fundamental crisis of identity where we thought we were still this team from last year and just added two all-star players, like one top five player in the league. And like, that's just not what it was anymore.
Yeah.
And it couldn't be that anymore. And it's foolish to think that it was.
Yeah. Are you excited for what the billboards are going to say this upcoming season?
Yes.
I hope it's just all black and it just says Clippers in white font.
What's the woke way of saying ass, grass, or ass? Whatever the woke way of saying that is, I think that's what the billboard should be.
I think it's just wheat grass. I think you just add that to it. All right. Now, we're going to end on a an innovative note from my co-host. Why don't you intro this fantastic idea and explain it to these fine listeners?
Okay. So, folks, I just want to talk about this. Like, we openly admit we are both fans of the team, the Los Angeles Clippers. That's why we do this podcast.
Yes.
We don't pretend to be experts on anything. We give you what we know.
Not even on the sport of basketball.
Truly. We give you what we know, and that's what we have. But I do feel like there is a pervasive situation going on, most notably on Twitter, sometimes
it happens in real life. It happens to me a lot.
Sometimes
in
everyday conversation. And I'm going to call it fansplaining.
Love it.
This is when a fan of a franchise or a fan of a player tries to explain something to someone who clearly has as much or more knowledge about the game of basketball. I coined this term. I don't believe I've ever heard it used before, but I coined this term when Ralph Lawler was making just a funny point about the Lakers winning 12 championships
for the
in
city
Los Angeles,
of Los Angeles.
And somebody immediately said, "Oh, do I really have to explain to you how when a franchise moves, the titles move with it?" And it's like, A, no. B, shut the hell up. He's a 40-year vet in the industry. You think he doesn't know how titles work?
Well, and this happens with everybody. I have, as Clippers fans, we are open to this weird form of abuse where, like, people you haven't talked to in a while will hit you up on Facebook or something and be like, "Oh, yo, saw the Lakers won the championship. Clippers suck." And then you'll get good. You'll be like, "Yeah, it sucks." And they'll be like, "What do you think went..." Like, I've had the thing where someone's like, "What do you think went wrong with the Clippers this year?" And I was like, "Well, in the playoffs specifically, they played Montrezl Harrell too much." And someone will be like, "Yeah, but he was great during the regular season." And I'm just like, yes. Like, both things are true. But like, fansplaining is a very,
Like, we love discourse.
Throw a pie in my face. That's what discourse is, I'm pretty sure.
No, I mean, like, I love legitimate discourse. I love legitimate conversation with anyone.
Step Back Tree on Twitter is great at discourse.
But if it starts to move into the realm of fansplaining, I'm out.
Get me out of here.
I'm just out.
Yeah, it's tough. And this is for everybody. Like, we've all been in this scenario.
Yes.
Where you watch specifically the
one team,
a bunch, and someone who doesn't is like, "Well, actually," and you're like, "Get the hell out of here!"
Like, but it goes both ways too. Like, you as a fan should be open to the views.
No,
of
I'm perfect to talk about sports.
should be open to the views of somebody else because you never. I mean, like, for the most part, all opinions are valid. Via sports.
Via
legitimate,
sports. Yes.
Legitimate opinions on sports.
Via
I'm not
sports.
Saying every opinion. Let's not get too wild out
we'll
there.
We'll just burn a pile of masks in the Locked On Clippers studio.
I am Q.
No, no, fansplaining, I love this term. This has to be used.
Yes.
Let's.
If you see somebody fansplaining on Twitter, go ahead. A, call them out.
Say
B,
something.
Tag Locked On Clippers.
Yeah, do that. Say, "Locked On Clippers told me I don't have to talk to you." and then blog them. Also, this is a weird note. We're recording this on Monday night, but Terrence Mann on Instagram was selling some jerseys, just some game worn stuff. I hit him up about it. Is this a weird move?
For you to hit him up about it?
No, for him to be selling jerseys.
So
someone just asked on Twitter, Redondo Mike, isn't this kind of strange?
It is a little bit, but here's my thing. I hope he doesn't need the money, but it makes sense.
I don't think he needs the money.
I don't think so
either.
I don't
mean that in a weird way.
But like, I think it
he's
makes...
He's not like, oh, I need $200.
Like, I think that it makes sense from the perspective of like, what the hell else are you supposed to do with these things, man? Like, you're going to... Like, he's obviously going to keep like his fate...
He has a jersey.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
He's going to keep his first game-worn jersey. He's going to keep jerseys from milestones. But like... Why would you keep every single
one? And we don't, you know, he just said, he goes, hit me up on Instagram. I did hit him up. Have not heard back yet. We'll update on Twitter if I do. But we don't know if the money's going to be going to charity. Like,
that also doesn't matter, man.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, it's his business.
Let the kid live. He's a young man in Los Angeles.
Who cares? Yeah.
LA, I'll tell you what, rookie contracts don't go as far in LA as they do in some other places.
Yes.
Anything else and to cap off shavings?
No, that about does it. I think we'll get out of here, but we'll be back tomorrow.
Heck yes.
Hopefully have some more coaching news for you.
So the fact that we haven't heard a bunch means some stuff is going on.
That's true.
Which I like. Well, where can these people tell their friends that they should listen to us for great terms like fansplaining?
You should check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you like what we're doing over here, please, it would really help us out if you'd give a rating and a review. We'd love to know what you think. And you know what? Just keep rocking with us. There's still so much to talk about with this team. There's still so many questions that I can't wait to debate ad nauseum.
And who doesn't love questions? Also, we have to give a shout out to we had a couple Lakers listeners give us one star on iTunes, which, like, first of all, so awesome, dude.
Get a life.
Got to give a shout out to Jeff, the king of work, for the 5-star review. He said, hopefully this cancels out the Laker trolls. We appreciate it, Jeff. And then a Persian Rug Slugger 69 gave us a 5-star review. It said, interesting podcast 5 days a week. They keep it interesting even in the off season. We appreciate that so much. What an absurd Apple name. Wednesday's episode, fan poll to discuss.
Yes.
So everyone check that out. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, that fan poll will be on at Locked On Clips. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.